Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast by the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like bringing fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and Indian perspectives to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to All Things Policy. This episode, we have my colleague Saurabh Todi, who works in the geopolitics of emergent technologies with us. And we will discuss about the trilateral technology dialogue that happened recently. So Saurabh, starting off, what is the trilateral technology dialogue? Can you give us a brief introduction?
Thank you, Ashwin, for having me. Last month, there was a interesting development where India, South Korea, and the US held their inaugural trilateral technology dialogue. So this was at the level of the officials from their national security agency or its equivalent. And then they talked about having enhanced cooperation on a variety of new and emerging tech domains, space, nuclear, biotech, and all of the other areas, semiconductors, AI, all of that. And it is quite significant because this is the first time that these three countries have met in this context. So you obviously have a Quad working group on critical tech under the Quad, which has US, Australia, Japan, and India. And you also have some discussions along these lines between India and South Korea, and you have the same kind of arrangement bilaterally between the US and South Korea. But having these three countries come together, I think, is a very interesting development, which I think is something that we should at least look forward to, and at least I think has a huge potential if we are able to make some use of it. I think obviously there are both room for optimism and caution, but a very interesting start indeed.
So, Saurabh, how do the strategic interests of these three countries, US, South Korea, and India, align in this context of technology?
First of all, again, both of these three countries are the top 10 economies in the world. And given the China-US great power competition, a lot of the regional dynamics have also changed. So, what we saw, the anxiety regarding supply chains during COVID, which, came onto the fore, and that has been just completely exacerbated with this sanctions or export controls, actually, imposed by the US on Chinese companies and in some cases vice versa. And there's also been pressure, let's say, on US allies also to reduce, to restrict the delivery and commerce of these high-tech products, especially semiconductors, between China and themselves. So that is one strand. Obviously, the concerns with India are similar. Obviously, we can't really wean China off. We can't really expect a world or even Indian economy that is not dependent on trade with China because it is such a big player globally. But the anxiety regarding supply chains, regarding security, and having at least some concentration of these high-tech domains, at least within the country or with friends, I think all of these concerns, and obviously the US has the same concerns. So the shared anxiety regarding supply chains, regarding China, and also their desire to actually, be a significant player in the global supply chain of these new and emerging technologies, I think, makes them all at least come together.
So there is significant scope for prosperity and security in the Indo-Pacific region that can come out of the trilateral technology dialogue.
Yes, but I would say that these countries also have their own things to worry about. So, for example, the economic relationship between South Korea and China has also undergone a shift in recent years. So, if you would remember, I think it was 2017 when China, almost a state-led boycott of Korean companies, products, as a response to South Korea deploying the THAAD aerial defense system in Korea, which was seen as, you know, a security threat by China. And that led to, you know, various South Korean companies exiting the Chinese market because there was no more business. There were huge losses. So first was like, you know, this the South Korean companies faced Chinese economic coercion in that way. So I think that was a turning point. And also the relationship between South Korea and China, the economic relationship, has also undergone a sea change, right? So when before, as China was doing, you know, high volume, high scale manufacturing, it was importing a lot of the intermediary components from Korea. So they were assembled and manufactured in China and then exported to the world. But the dependence was mutually beneficial. But as now China has grown up the technology ladder, it is now producing its own high-tech products and intermediaries. So South Korea and China have now become competitors than being complementary to each other's. Similarly, I mean, obviously, I think between India and China, the concerns are not new, especially after the Doklam crisis and more recently after the Galwan crisis and then the experience of COVID, the idea that we cannot have too much of dependence on China or at least one player, let alone a adversary, be responsible for a significant share of any component of our economy. So that is one. And obviously, the US-China competition is not new. It has only been intensifying. And it is in US's interest, or at least the way it perceives, that it wants to kind of throttle the kind of advantage that China is gaining in high-tech sectors, for example, semiconductors and solar and many other. So it wants to reduce that, and it is doing that by imposing export controls of technology from US to China, and as we discussed before, pushing its allies into doing something similar. So yeah, so I think this is what I would say is mainly the kind of broad background. What is also interesting is that for South Korea also, it is very unique because it signals that there's a willingness to openly strengthen the strategic cooperation with the members of Quad on these issues, you know, regardless of what China may see as, you know, like a somewhat an escalation, or at least they would not be happy with this development. So the fact that South Korea is okay with taking that risk, I think, is a interesting thing to look out for.
That's great, Saurabh. And in this cooperation between these three countries, what specific areas of technology are we talking about?
So I think, again, we should be careful, you know, to not be overambitious. And there are plethora of these initiatives that, you know, every country is now having with each other. But it is important to kind of focus on areas where you have complementary strengths, right? So the comparative advantage, I think, is very important. So there are three broad areas where I think that the three of these countries can cooperate on. So the first of all is semiconductors, right? So it is the new geopolitical hot potato. Everybody wants a slice of it, wants to secure supply chains regarding it, and wants to also build domestic capabilities. So for the same reason, all three countries have specific plans in place to shore up their domestic semiconductor industry and build where there is none. So for example, the US has the CHIPS Act, which is giving significant subsidies and incentives to companies like Intel, TSMC, and Samsung to build semiconductor facilities in the US. In a similar fashion, the K-CHIPS Act that South Korea has enacted last year is in a similar fashion attempting to, you know, shore up R&D infrastructure and to provide more incentives for companies to, you know, keep on developing these new and new technologies so that the edge that South Korea has in some parts of the supply chain is maintained. And we would be familiar with, for example, the PLI scheme that India has launched, the Production Linked Incentive Scheme regarding semiconductors, where, you know, we have recently given approval to Micron Technologies and then from the US and Taiwan's power chip semiconductor manufacturing company, so PSMC, for establishing their factories in India. There's also approval given to Tata to set up a component of that supply chain as well. So all these three countries, obviously, they want to do something about it. So where can they kind of use each other's strength, right? So for example, India is a major player in the semiconductor design, you know, and of the top five global semiconductor companies, all of them have their design centers in India. So that is a significant, and I think that is something that India can capitalize on, and the US and South Korean companies could expand that presence, right? So second one, there has been reports of delays on the part of these companies establishing their factories in the US. So now this has been ironed out a bit, but they rely significantly on subsidies that the US taxpayers would have to give, right? And these are in like tens of billions of dollars. So I think that is something that may not be sustainable in the long run. And there has been concerns regarding labor shortages, rising costs. So there may be some financial sense in at least trying to build that capacity, at least for the less sophisticated ones, to have that in India where the labor is cheaper. It is cheaper to also manufacture. And then I think the incentives also are there, but they will not be, you know, as biting as it may be in the US. And also, I think it is also in South Korea's interest also to also diversify, right? So that is something that, it could, the TTD, this dialogue, so it could provide a kind of platform, right, to better coordinate the kind of tensions or concerns which these countries may have with each other. So for example, you know, US export control restrictions, you know, trying to kind of affect the profits of South Korean chip makers and also the imports of intermediaries that they are importing from China. So that is something I think would be one element, concrete element, where you can diversify supply chain in semiconductors by taking the advantage of the strengths of all three countries. So that's one. Second one would be in nuclear energy. All the three countries have significant domestic nuclear energy program. And then both US and South Korea are a big exporter of reactors as well. And India obviously has recently brought online its 700 megawatt indigenous nuclear reactor as well. So those kind of strengths exist. Now, where these three can cooperate on is in this new generation reactors called small modular reactors, or SMRs. These are below 300 megawatt sized nuclear reactors, which can be used for a variety of ways. And these 6th, 7th generation reactors are much safer. And I think there has been a lot of research all over the world, especially in advanced economies like Korea, Japan, China, US, Russia. So on new and more safer designs for nuclear reactors, especially in the context of SMRs, is something that the three should actually cooperate on. India already has expressed its interest in developing SMRs. There was a report by Niti Aayog on how India can achieve its climate goals. And in that, it strongly advocated for nuclear energy and the fact that SMRs could be a tool to do that. And I mean, India, in the joint statement with the US and France, has indicated that it would want to have more cooperation with its foreign partners on this new and emerging technology like SMRs. And again, India, just to remind, India has an ambitious goal to kind of triple its nuclear power generation capacity to 22 gigawatts from around 7 gigawatts right now by 2031. So this dialogue could be a very productive way to look at that. And lastly, I think one area which is very crucial, and I think we saw during COVID what happened, was that the pharmaceutical sector is something that, I mean, pharma and broadly the bio manufacturing sector is something that I think the three countries can partner on. India has an ambitious goal of having a $300 billion bio economy by 2030. US has a specific and concrete initiatives to promote their bioeconomy and biomanufacturing. And South Korea, being a major player, I think can play an important role in trying to make sure that, first of all, you know, the APIs, the precursors or the active ingredients in a lot of medicines, India was around 80 to 90% dependent on Chinese imports when COVID hit. So there is a specific PLI for that as well. It is showing some signs of success, but obviously there's a long way to go. So biomanufacturing, especially the low skill and high volume manufacturing, is something that, you know, India, South Korea and the US can cooperate on. India, for the fact that it wants to have more jobs, has cheaper cost of manufacturing, and US and South Korea because they want to obviously expand their supply chains and, you know, reduce that vulnerability that they have regarding China. So yeah, these three broad things: semiconductors, nuclear energy, and pharma / bio manufacturing.
Yes, so even before COVID, the traded APIs, 40% of those were concentrated in China. So definitely diversifying this concentrated supply chain would be crucial for these partners. Now that we have spoken about all the potential areas for cooperation, do you also see certain potential conflicts or challenges in this trilateral dialogue?
Yeah, see, it's not always all good, all hunky-dory, right? There are many difficult things that one has to kind of be mindful of. And I mean, that's perhaps why, you know, this is not that easy, or else it would have taken off already. So first of all, you know, like, so US recently overtook China as South Korea's top export market for the month of December. So that's a good sign that, okay, you know, the dependence on China is reducing a bit. But the anxiety regarding trade deficits and trade policy in the US is also increasing, right? If you have Trump re-elected, that would be a big problem where, you know, the US may not be very okay with high trade deficits or would want to kind of renegotiate these trade agreements. So I think that is something that should be kind of mindful of. And this is not only a Trump thing, right? So even, let's say, as the election campaign is ongoing in the US for elections in November this year, Joe Biden actually declared his opposition to Nippon Steel buying out the US Steel. You know, okay, you know, a foreign company buying, you know, the crown jewel of US industry, despite Japan being, you know, like one of the closest partners. So I think the domestic kind of economic and trade environment, I think, and the outlook is changing. So I think that might kind of create some issues on this. And this is not also unique to the US. In India also, there has been concerns regarding India's free trade agreements with ASEAN, South Korea, Japan, that, you know, these agreements have not really worked to India's favor and have led to, you know, just ever ballooning trade deficit, and not much in return is being enjoyed by India. So there has been push to renegotiate such an FTA with South Korea. And I think the discussions on that front are going to keep happening this year. You know, the trade imbalance between India and South Korea reached about $14.5 billion in the fiscal year ending March last year. And, you know, Indian producers of electronics, steel, pharma, they all insist that, you know, there is undue pressure from imports from Korea. So, you know, they all are linked with each other. And again, and when we talk about even semiconductors and all of these, I mean, there would be a trade-off required, right? Like, if you have comparative strength in one sector or one area, to strengthen that, you have to give, you know, your maybe nascent capability in some other area. So I think that kind of a negotiation is something that would be difficult, but I think that is something that we should have. But I would say that, you know, like, there are already many, many initiatives on these lines. So this new dialogue is just, you know, one more addition, but it is the one with a significant potential. So if the countries are able to make sure that this does not remain like one more talk shop and is actually able to produce concrete results, I think that would be something that would be very, very, I think, refreshing. And I think this kind of TTD marks like a fresh approach and a welcome step towards, you know, improving security, stability and prosperity in the broader Indo-Pacific region as well. So there is great potential, but obviously, you know, there's a lot of hard work that needs to go. And it's not going to be easy, but it is something that, you know, all the three countries should really work towards in a serious fashion.
Well, this is really interesting. We are all curious to see how this cooperation will unwind going forward. But for this conversation, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you, Saurabh, for coming in and chatting about TTD. Hope to have you again soon.
I am very happy, Ashwin. Like, this is a new start, and hopefully when we talk again, talking about not some other forum that we have to talk about, but something concrete that comes out of these plurilaterals, bilaterals, minilaterals, all the groupings, but you know, something that needs to come out is very important. So yeah, thank you.
If you liked our show, dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs. Check us out at our Twitter handle at takshashilainst or our website takshashila.org.in.